Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Peggy Ayers. The relationship between the settler society and First Nations is broken, Peggy. Please explain how this relationship continues to be further stressed, not only from systemic and political policies, but on a more individual level.
Well, I think I've been speaking about the historical reality in Canada and how the settlers came. Their attitude toward First Nations was not from the beginning, let's have peaceful coexistence. It was almost like we have to displace the First Nations, if not outright try to kill them, which happened over and over. So these are problems that have been part of the fabric of Canadian history. These attitudes still continue to the present day. In some cases, nothing has really changed. Through it all, they've managed to maintain cultural practices or try to recover them. I don't want to gloss over and pretend that things are fine with First Nations. That's not what I'm trying to say. So yes, it's a broken relationship. But I think having the conversation is the first thing that needs to happen, and to understand how systemic racism has been in Canada and how people still carry those outdated beliefs and how we have to address it. And I really don't think it's First Nations so much that need to make the changes. I think since it's our own ancestors that came here with these attitudes, it's more or less up to white people. And I address that in my book.
Mm-hmm. And when you talking about the individual level, you're really talking about that cultural appropriation you were talking about.
Oh, right.
Before.
Yes, right.
Is that right?
Yes. Well, I do think we've had such an element of white privilege, and I think to our own credit, I think the last 30 years has seen this explosion of wonderful spiritual practices, some that could be called New Age or pagan, or all the young hippies were into heading out to India, learning Buddhism and so on. So this is a very good move, a very positive movement, but I think there were no boundaries in place at that time when it got going 30 years ago. So you know, looking for tribal culture, that was another alternative way of life that happened in the counterculture. So I think looking to First Nations seemed to be a normal thing to do, and no one really understood that taking from First Nations that have already been oppressed, they're already marginalized, it would just be more racism. And so cultural appropriation is a very serious issue. I think people have to understand more about it, and they have to stop doing it. So on the individual level, it means just educating yourself. As they say in social justice, you have to do your own heavy lifting.
Well, tell us some of the ways we can reclaim our own connection to the earth and the earth community, and explain why you think this is so important for individuals.
Well, I do think that the values of First Nations or indigenous cultures all over the world, including our own, maybe 1,000 years ago, I think are more or less the correct way we need to be living on the planet. Maybe I have a very extreme view, but I kind of see the civilization, the empire we live in as sort of an aberration. I don't really think it's the way we're supposed to be living on the planet. I think it's out of touch with our connection to nature. I think we see nature as a resource. It's gone too far. Climate change is all around us today. We're seeing these terrible effects of the end limits of capitalism, the economic paradigm that is unsustainable. And I think if we look to indigenous cultures, I think we see a better way of living on the planet as part of the web of life, not sort of above it. And I think we can still recover all of these ways and means. We call it the old ways. I don't self-identify as a pagan, but that movement has been amazing in the last 30 years. There's been incredible work done in the pagan community to reconnect with the earth. And, of course, there's huge groundswell in society right now to reconnect, you know, even permaculture or gardening or doing urban gardens instead of lawns. There's so many wonderful movements happening right now. It's a very exciting time, really.
Okay. Well, just before we leave the topic, what about racism in general? I mean, your book deals with racism vis-a-vis our indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you could say that there's a lot of racist behavior with other peoples who have come here from all kinds of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
and perhaps they are more like Indigenous cultures, or maybe not. But you don't deal with that in your book.
No, I could only narrow it down in terms of First Nations, but, you know, racism is racism. So it's all connected. It's the same. Like, a person can be prejudiced against a First Nations person and have that exact same prejudice toward a Black person. People have this strange understanding that racism has happened all throughout history. But when you look into the research, it actually came out of the time of the Enlightenment, when those scientists and early anthropologists and early ethnologists and statesmen, they're all men, and they're all either English or German during the Enlightenment. I have all their names in my book, but they had this new science happening of, it wasn't exactly eugenics yet, but it was categorizing the human race into different biological groups. That had never been done before. So they placed Anglos and Germanic people at the very top of this chart. They measured the skulls of all these other human beings, and they put them in a placement. It's like a hierarchy. Down at the very bottom, strangely enough, were the Irish, almost at the bottom, which is a joke because it's kind of like they're the same DNA group as the people putting forth all of this racism. So the white supremacy of it was an actual chart that's been followed since the 1700s, and it's what drove empire building in the Americas. They had that plus manifest destiny. White is right. You know, we need to populate the entire hemisphere. White people have always been the superior people, according to this theory. And it's been completely debunked lately, of course. We've had the science come out that the genetic makeup of the entire human race is almost identical, except for this little tiny chromosome. So there actually is no such thing as race, let alone a racial hierarchy with white at the top. That's a complete fabrication. So right. Racism is very, very harmful, very, very toxic, and we really need to get rid of it.
So, are you planning another book, and what will be the subject of that one?
No, I'm not planning another book. This was a 3-year research project. I think I could have divided it into 2 books, but I thought, well, no, I'll keep going, and I'll put it all into one. There's enough material in this book to, you know, talk about for years to come. If I did write another book, I think it would be about 6 years from now. I have enough to work with.
We'll have to get you back in 6 years, see what you've been doing. So how about reading us a bit more from Ancient Spirit Rising?
Okay. The need to connect deeply with the land, to love and respect the natural place we call home, is the starting point for reclaiming our own European Indigenous knowledge. Beyond the structures, complexity, and toxicity of human civilization and the patriarchal oppression of people in the land, we find our true selves in community with wild nature. The land welcomes the entire human family, and earth-based cultures have lived successfully for millennia, deeply connected to place. Throughout time, human societies have been shaped by our interconnectivity with the sacred elements, landforms, waters, creatures, and plants of our homelands. And there is much to suggest that this could continue, that the places where we live today can give rise again to our European Indigenous knowledge. The greatest challenge, then, is to bond with nature, to let the land inform us as to what stewardship, reciprocity, cultural practices, ceremonial expressions, and prayers are needed, and then to bring in elements of our own ancestral knowledge in whatever form and practice that may take. The emphasis on the importance of the human-built, monolithic, techno-political, money-centric world by the dominant culture and our incestuous interaction with the technologies and systems of our own making has created a parasitical existence that demeans both humanity and the earth. In our colonized trance, we believe the deceptive propaganda and movies and advertising that tell us that wild nature is threatening and hostile to humanity. Certainly, natural law influences all living things with necessary checks and balances, but these fearful deceits keep us separated and alienated from our essential bio-lineage and true interconnection with Earth community. For millennia, Christian domination has perpetuated the expulsion from Eden as the operating myth of Western civilization, and it is high time to reject this fallacy and return to the garden. Never before has there been a time when human beings have been so disconnected from the web of life, the bedrock of our being, and the elements in the natural world that sustain our very lives. To restore our world, we need to stay in one place, sink our roots deep, learn about local history, plants and animals,
and support healthy living food systems, local food markets, and local farmers committed to ecological practices. We can all play a part in honoring and creating new systems for our settler relanding.
Thank you, Peggy. Where can listeners buy copies of Ancient Spirit Rising?
The book is available on Amazon.com. It's not on Amazon.ca as yet,
Just
Amazon.com. And through my website, which is www.stonecirclepress.com.
Okay. So you sell it through your website.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And the PDF's available too. The PDF's nice because it has color pictures. And the book doesn't.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes. Great. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to wordonthehills897@gmail.com or leave a comment on our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.